to office.
All right. Well, as I became trained, it was evident to me that everything you did was totally from policy. Any Scientologist tells you any different, I'm going to tell you he's lying. Everything you did was written from policy, and the policy had to be written by L. Ron Hubbard. In fact, it was a major crime in Scientology with severe penalties if you do not do anything except written by source. In fact, the word was that if it's not written by source, it isn't true.
It was source.
Source was L. Ron Hubbard. Everybody else is secondary. Some of the policies that I found to be repugnant was, we go into ethics. There's a division in every organization called the ethics officer. The ethics officer is presented as an individual who is supposed to help you clean up your transgressions so that you can become a better person. Again, as in most of the things in Scientology, what is presented in the actual operation are two different things. Ethics actually is a place to help ferret out the enemy by everything from penalties to degradation to investigations on an e-meter. They will put individuals on an e-meter and tell them that they must come up with any crimes or anything they've ever thought bad about L. Ron Hubbard or the Church of Scientology. It is not for the protection of the individual. In fact, it's for the protection of Hubbard only. There are policies such as disconnect, disconnect is very important because Scientology professors could be help families, etc. It does not. The main thing that Scientology is involved in, Hubbard, paranoia, is the enemies that are out to get him. He has formed a money-making outfit that obviously has to be protected. In order to protect it, ethics is used against individuals. A suppressor person is a person that criticizes or is going to harm Scientology. Anybody associated with any of those people is called PTS, potential trouble source. It's interesting even the term they give these individuals, potential trouble source, not to themselves, to Scientology. You are taught per policy that all illness and aberrative behavior, sickness, comes from being PTS, meaning connected to suppressive people. So when a person in Scientology is sick or ill, and I was told we would treat them and make them well, ethics takes them and wants to know what suppressor they're involved in. If that suppressor is their mother or their father, because the young individual, and I know many, many cases of this, thousands, of an individual who is now feeling bad about being on course because he's never home, he talks a different language than his mother understands. She wants to know what he's involved in that cult. He now tells this in his confessional. The confessional takes these private things and gives them to the ethics officer. The ethics officer calls this individual and says, has your mother been criticizing the church? Yes. What questions is she asking you? And why is she asking who L. Ron Hubbard is and how do you know he is and all this stuff? So then she's against the church, yes. And can you see she's suppressive? And a person will, you know, tend to see this. He is then told that he has to disconnect or handle his parent, which means he has to handle them, they would have to become a Scientologist. If they don't become a Scientologist, he has to disconnect from them because he's connected to a suppressive person. So you have people continually becoming upset and disconnected from their families. Now, if the individual won't do this, because, you know, leaving your parents and family is not the easiest thing in the world, you get threatened with being expelled from Scientology, and things put against you such as fair game. Fair game is a policy written up in the Church of Scientology. I have seen it. I know it's denied by Guardian's office. It's denied by Artie Manor and all these people, but I'm telling you, there is a policy. It's never been presented to the public, there is one. I've seen it, and it is practiced to this very day. Yeah. Those are the moral ethics conditions, meaning that if you are dangerous to the church, or even if you've done something wrong, like this individual having trouble with his family, if he does not disconnect from his mother, he could be put in enemy. Now, this might sound nutty to you, but you realize that in public thinking, and in God himself thinking, he is an enemy because he's siding with his mother, who is questioning the Church of Scientology. And she probably has a doctor, most people do, but the Scientologists, that's considered like earth-shattering. They'll follow this woman around, and they found she went to a doctor, and interesting, it ties her back to a doctor, and the doctors are tied to the government. Ron is right again. He's just brilliant, this man. So, now these are taken very seriously. I mean, you know, the wording here doesn't really affect me that much, but there was a time when if you had put me in one of those conditions, I would have done whatever it took to get out of them.
You'd have been disgraced?
What?
Disgraced if you had put in those conditions.
Disgraced? Other Scientologists will then be put in enemy if they talk to you.
Mr. Mayor, may I reflect that we have posted on the Eagle a document, or a blog of the document, which will be introduced as evidence as Exhibit 1, which is copyrighted by L. Ron Hubbard, and which states on it, for the record, enemy FT fair game may be deprived of property or injured by any means by any Scientologist without any discipline of the Scientologist, may be tricked, sued, or lied to, or destroyed.
Now, what he just read is true and is practiced. Even though a few years later they put out an order saying that was canceled. But if you look at the exact order, it says it's canceled, and the second line said, no actions or the way you handle these people are changed. The name was changed because the public has heard about it and they don't like it. This is very serious. A fair game person, another Scientologist can do anything to him. He can lie about him, plant dope on him, use any of his confidential things against him. He can be tricked, sued. Whatever is needed to be done to stop him. I have seen this done to individuals. I've seen individuals go into hiding over it. Many are still out there. The Church of Scientology lists them as part of their role. These guys haven't been in the church for years because they're afraid of their lives. There's low ethics conditions, very degrading. I mean, look at the names of them. They're not called "you're a bad boy." Liability, treason, doubt. Can you imagine a young man who spends 2 or 3 years studying all day long, giving every energy to his church, and then his mother doesn't like the church, so now he's called enemy to L. Ron Hubbard, and is told that the enemy will be handled, and you'll either be one of us, or we will handle you, and it'll be done.
May I interrupt, Mayor?
Yeah, you can ask questions.
Well, I wanted you to complete your thought, and then we will ask you questions. And if you've kind of completed your scenario as you know it at this point, then I will...
Well, let me just say this. Otherwise, a lot of what I say won't be understood. Scientology, like everything, is not totally bad. Some technology that is good. You're not going to have people like myself who are not complete idiots, any of your sons or daughters if they went into the first few courses, I'll tell you, they would like them. You're not asked to dress up in fancy robes, you don't cut your hair, you don't go singing songs, you don't go to the airport and solicit donations. In other words, it's not the appearance of a cult. It appears to be a very technical solution in education on the theory of life, etc. The general public gets involved in that and they get fleeced for their money. The staff member who works on staff, again, are usually more brainwashed, more into working hard for Hubbard. A lot of them are good, decent people, working very hard for practically no pay, working 14, 15 hours a day, doing the slightest thing wrong and being beaten or thrown in the hole or many other things, subject to degradation, financial loss and suits, etc. Anyway, they're just young, decent people. If they weren't in Scientology, I believe a lot of them would be in the Peace Corps or something like that. Then you have the higher officials of the church. Some of them are decent people, just brainwashed on Scientology and Hubbard. Others are outright criminals who are participating in criminal acts years ago, and I believe are probably doing it up to this day and probably here in Clearwater. Then you have the Guardian's Office, which is a separate outfit, who is it's sort of on the outside of Scientology, but it protects Scientology and actually runs it. It's hard to explain it. The best example, which is very real to me, is like you have Hitler and the troops, which is the Sea Org, and then you have the Gestapo, which is the Guardian's Office. And the fear, the natural running of Scientology is actually from the Guardian's Office. The Guardian's Office ranges anywhere from some young, new individuals who really don't know very much. Some probably don't even believe that they did break into the federal buildings or any of that stuff, and probably believe I never was in Scientology, whatever they're told about me. And then you have further above them who are people who are inclined to become criminals, and the type of people that would go in the SS in Germany. I mean, and then in the higher-ups of the Guardian's Office, you have people that, from my experience, turn out to be criminals and people in hatred and fear of the citizens throughout the land.
Are you prepared to answer or discuss questions about specific criminal activity?
I'll answer any question you ask.
Would you like to volunteer anything specifically? Would you like us to...
I'll volunteer some.
Specifically relating to Clearwater, if you know anything about that. The chair has the option to lead or offer to yield, and then I'm going to go from my right on down, and everyone got a chance to speak and to lead off.
I was going to say something along with what you're saying. We want to know some of the policies of the organization that he's been part of that could give us an idea.
Well, I mean, there was policies, the attacker, I forget the exact name of it, it's the policy that we all studied. Scientology denies it, but I've seen it. And we are thoroughly indoctrinated on this, that we are to totally attack, investigate any group that dares criticize or investigate Scientology.
Do you know anyone, would this be happening currently in Clearwater, with any of myself, my colleagues, or any elected or appointed city official?
I can promise you it's occurring. I will give you experience if you're interested in Las Vegas. I will tell you how the tech works, and I can promise you that it's being applied here.
For my own benefit, since I am one of the principals here, I'd like to know how it works.
Hubbard believes that there are enemies out to get him. He also believes that the enemies who attack Scientology are actually criminals themselves. As I found out later, almost everything Scientology is intuitive. It turns out that's exactly what they do. But anyway, so that, the technology, the Guardian's Office technology is this. Whenever somebody criticizes or attacks, and you always hear the words like attack, it's never, you know, speak badly, it's always attack and destroy, it's very military. And the Guardian's Office goes into operation. The Guardian's Office has, well, the three that I'm familiar with is the Public Relations Bureau, the Intelligence Bureau, and then the AG person herself. Their job is to operate on two fronts. One, publicly, well, first the intelligence operation goes into the thing. The city official, for example, I'll give you the specifics.
Seems funny saying this, geez.
No, if I spot it, I better keep going.
All right, sir.
Well, I'll give you an example. In Las Vegas, there was a fellow called Otto Reagenholz, who was the director of public health, the director of mental health, something like that. He, like you people, thought that the city ought to look into Scientology and who are these young kids giving auditing, and are they trained counselors? You know, who are they? Are they administering mental health? Which is the title of Ron's book, you know, Dianetics on Modern Science and Mental Health. Geez, the Guardian's Office went berserk. So, they, in telexes and in written coded messages to Los Angeles, which was the headquarters then, now your headquarters is here in Clearwater, they designed a program to handle. Another thing, everything done in Scientology is written up as a program first. There's since been a downfall, because when the FBI raided, they got all this. But none of this stuff is done because some individual did it on his own. I don't care what Artie Manning tells you, or Heber Jens, or one of these other guys who will do whatever it takes to tell you whatever Hubbard wants them to tell you about Scientology. They'll do anything without a planned operation. The operation then was to, the first thing that always happens is you covertly investigate the individual, the city official, not a Raven host. Thing was Chuck Reese. Chuck Reese then started following him around day and night. And he was to get information. You start a file on him. I promise you there are files in the Guardian's Office here on every one of you individuals. You follow them around, you follow where they go, Otto Reagenholz, he stopped to have a drink. The guy sitting next to him was Chuck Reese. They listened to his conversations. Because of L. Ron Hubbard's technology, they listened for what they call buttons or psychological things, like if Otto Reagenholz would tell a dirty joke or kid about girls, which is from what I understand, is what he kidded about. The next operation is to use that against him. The operation was to plant a girl on a Ravenholt, get something indiscretions done, and hold it in the folder to expose him when needed.
Can I interrupt at this point, Mr. Mayor? Just to simply say that rather than interrupt the witness' testimony, we will be introducing documents pertaining to the program, the way that you refer to. But I will wait until the end of the testimony, the end of the questioning, and we will be introducing those operations and programs and putting them on the overhead projector to come out.
I'll deal with your questions, then I'd like to go on to my colleagues on the right, and I'll start off. You know, you have apparently taken a large chance to come here today, and you were obviously nervous, and you were giving information that they wouldn't like to have out. How do you think that you'll be characterized by tomorrow by the Scientologists due to your presence and your here today?
Well, the policy says I will be suppressive, subject to fair game. To fit into the technology of Scientology, I will be made a suppressor who is in conspiracy with you people, and we are all in conspiracy with the government and with some monsters from outer space whose real job is to do in Hubbard in all religions in the world. And 99% of all Scientologists will believe exactly. They will not be allowed to talk to me. If they are, they will be put in enemy.
You're going to apparently, if it's all true to form, you're going to be discredited.
Oh, yeah, I have already done that in Las Vegas.
All right, well, what am I going to say about you? You might as well give me
a
review.
I told you about what the Intelligence Bureau does in the Guardian Office, right?
Yes, sir.
Investigate city officials, district attorney's office, that are doing this, I have personal knowledge of all of this. I don't care what they tell you. I will testify in any law court to it. Anyway, now, when that is done, after all that is done, then the Public Relations Bureau goes to work. They will use this evidence against the individuals, or they will make evidence that from their surveys of the city fits the tone of the city. For, I mean, it's very cleverly done, I'm telling you. It's, for example, in Las Vegas, if the city was afraid of crime, then they would say, Eddie Rogers is speaking, yes, but did you know he's a criminal? And that is what you want to get rid of, people like Eddie Rogers. He is a criminal, and we in the church do not know anything about what he's saying. And these people, and if you press them, they'll say, well, some former Scientologist, something did something on their own, that's it. Eddie Rogers is a person that's been expelled from the church. But there are probably people in the church are different than they'll tell you. They'll tell the citizens tomorrow, but I have probably never been in the Church of Scientology.
How long have you been in the Church of Scientology, and when did you leave?
I started on I started in around late 1970. There are records to prove all this. And I was in until March of 1979. And I spent full time when I was there. As I told you, I took every technical course to do.
What do you... are the Guardians in Clearwater, then, are they carrying out covert activities within Clearwater now, to your knowledge?
Well, I cannot speak specifically to what they're doing for the simple reason I don't even know who's here at the moment. So I can tell you, if they're good GO members, they better be doing it, or they'll get somebody who will. Public does not put up with people like yourselves asking or investigating Scientology. I mean, your first thing I read about Mayor Gazzaras being trapped or put in a thing, you know, I mean, that's just normal tech. I mean, they would have done that at Otto Ravenholt. I mean,
what is tech? You keep talking about tech and the cost of eight, and those are two
I'm
not familiar with.
Tech is technology. See, I want our professors to have the technology of the world in the mind. And that's what you study in Scientology. So you are taught how the world thinks, what the mind is made up, what causes all illnesses, what causes all irrational behavior. You are taught why public officials like yourselves will probably do hearings like this. We are taught that you are suppressive and aberrated and really have hidden crimes. And I'm not telling you that some individual tells me this. This is the policy of this. It's to attack the attackers, and attackers are doing it because of your own crimes. And that is policy written by L. Ron Hubbard, and the Guardian's office will carry it out.
And were you expelled, or did you just quit?
I was expelled. Artie Marin threatened me in the sense of that, you know, if I would back off and go quietly away, I'm sure that I possibly wouldn't have been expelled. I don't know. It was coming to a head. I mean, and he knew it, and I knew it.
Where does the money come from to indulge or operate covert activities with respect to this commission or to governmental agencies? You have to hire detectives, or he needs cash. Who gives you that money?
The Scientologists who are getting this auditing at very high prices, designed to keep them going continually from one step to another. There's always a higher step. There's always more illnesses that you have and more reasons that one has just discovered. The money comes from there. And I would tell you, quite frankly, most all the money for probably the covert activities, the way I would understand it when I was in, would now be raised in your city of Clearwater. You have Fort Harrison here, where the people that are brainwashed the most in Scientology are sent here to be, in my opinion, policed. That all the high secret science fiction levels are done here in Clearwater.
Do you think that the average young person that's walking around the street that's paying this amount of money to learn the truth as they perceive it, they know that their money is being spent to indulge in operations to embarrass local officials or to break into offices?
No, they don't. The average Scientologist does not read newspapers that are slowly told to them. I'm sure you'll find that the pre-clearers and the people getting counseling at Fort Harrison will not attend these, because if they didn't heard what I said, you've had 300 or 400 people filing nooses. No, the average Scientologist does not know about it. Some of even the higher-ups. But it depends what level you're talking about. Covert operations are done entirely in the Guardian's office. The Guardian's office operates like the Gestapo in Germany, totally secret. They do not explain or tell what they do. They explain, though, that things are being done, but they do not say how or...
I'm sure my colleagues have a lot of questions, too. I just want to ask you one or two more. Didn't you have a question that this man his education, his background, as far as being a nuclear physicist and being able to heal people, didn't you have a question that, or his war record?
Quite frankly, in the beginning, no. I mean, we were shown things that he was. It's mentioned in books. Any lectures that we got, we were told that, you himself.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Just could you expand a little bit on what we were told about the background of Hubbard?
Well, that he was a doctor of philosophy, he was a graduate of George Washington University, that he was one of the first nuclear physicists, that he was a great humanitarian, that he was an engineer, that he was a...
how many college degrees does he have, and what school did he attend to go achieve this?
He rises in Scientology?
No, yes.
Well,
is he a nuclear physicist? Is he an engineer?
Well, I didn't find any of that out. I left Scientology.
But he...
I didn't find any of that. See, you must understand, I left Scientology because I was like a surgeon in a hospital. I was the top surgeon in the hospital, finding out my own hospital was crooked. And then even the operations were done. I didn't find out that much about Hubbard until I left. If I'd known that, I would have left first year, probably 90% of them in there would.
If you had not been impressed by his background, would you have gone into it?
Absolutely not. I mean, I'm not fascinated, but I'm not totally an idiot. I was a casino executive. I'm aware of scams. I'm not the most innocent individual in the world. If he didn't have doctor's degrees and a philosopher and a nuclear physicist to back up the theories that he was giving us on communication and the life, which are very technical, I wouldn't give them. I gave him $35,000 to $40,000.
Mr. Garvey, you apparently have a floor. Why don't you keep it and then use it until you yield? Then we'll go down to Mr. Hatchett and go down the row, and the next witness will start with Mr. Hatchett and go down the row. So Mrs. Garvey has the floor.
When did you discover that they were using these confessions for fair game purposes?
Confessions, I found that when I used to hang around the Guardian's office in Las Vegas. Because remember, I was a field intelligence agent. I had a code name of Hustler. When the FBI broke in, I hear there are documents that even have my name on it. It's terrible to say, but I'm even glad they do, because Scientology tells everybody everything I'm telling you is a lie, and I'm telling you it isn't. My code name was Hustler, and you will find operations, the things that I was involved in those files. Anyway, what was the exact question again? I'm sorry.
When did you discover they were using confessions for confidential?
I was on the technical line, meaning I was an auditor and helped train other auditors to give these people auditing. the guardian's office would come to me on a regular basis. Whenever an individual was causing a flat means he was mad, upset, saying things that are suppressed of right, I'm going to my lawyer, or I'm going to officials, they would come and want his folder, which I'm ashamed to say I would give him at the time. And they would go through his folder and make a list of any of his sexual improprieties, or, because I've seen many of these lists, and it would be sexual, or things that he's done that he feels bad about, and that was amazing. Now I look back, the list that they would write up tells you more about them than does the individual. And that this would be, he would be confronted with this, or told it would be exposed. It wasn't done on a regular basis through the years. It was done entirely up until the latest was in 1977 or 78, I forget exactly when Bruce Hamilton, who was the intelligence agent, he replaced Chuck Lee from Las Vegas, came to me for photos on orders of right here in Clearwater.
Do you know who they were from personally? I mean, who told him to...
Bruce, I'll tell you exactly what occurred. Is that what you mean? Bruce Hamilton came to me, I was the CS, I case supervised. I supervised the auditing that the auditor did on the individual. I was the top man on that line. So I had the folders on my desk. My job was to make sure the auditing was done exactly the way L. Ron Hubbard wants it to be done. Although you slowly realize that it has to be done the way the guardian's office wants it to be done, or you don't see it. Anyway, Bruce Hamilton came to me, and in half bragging and half... His latest thing, he was looking for some individual that he knew was in Las Vegas that threw a plant or an informant that they had at the North Las Vegas Police Department, because one of the technologies of the guardian's office is to infiltrate city officials' offices, district attorney's offices, better business bureau, and police. They apparently, I guess from the way he talked, already had an informant or a plant in the North Las Vegas Police Department, and he was saying that they were getting evidence that was either being given to Interpol, that old boo-boo again, or that Interpol was giving to the North Las Vegas Police Department, or I didn't understand exactly. From the evidence given, he wanted to know, did I have anybody that had been to Flag, and they think you've been to Clearwater, and got some auditing here in Clearwater, and he wanted to know if I had a body would fit above OT3, been to Clearwater, been to Flag, was on staff at Flag, and he wanted his folders so that they could be sent. I at this time was starting to rebel against a lot of this, and I said I did not want to participate in this Gestapo thing. He threatened me with those lower penalties, that I'd be an enemy, so I think it's a fair game. Things like R-245, which is a process. I don't know if you ever heard of R-245, but it's a process.
Explain it, please.
Well, there are auto processes. Routine, to go clear and exteriorize. You pay a lot of money on the belief that you will be able to leave your head and leave your body and go to Paris or anyplace else. And,
Paris?
Paris, anywhere. Whatever.
No limits.
Whatever you say, they match it. You know what I mean? If you're ill, well, that's because you're in your body. When you leave your body, you won't be ill, et cetera, If you've got arthritis, well, if you leave your body, you won't have arthritis. If you don't have an IQ, well, if you leave your body, the spiritual beings have IQ. It's the answer to everything. And when Hubbard has handled, he brags about, his early enemies with a process. Oh, the processes are called R-216, would be one process. R-217 would be another one. Well, R-245 means if you shoot the person in the head, which is false exteriorization, meaning he leaves his body whether he wants to or not. Now, this may sound nutty to you, but I promise you he's not kidding.
Did that worry you when you consider your own file?
It worried every Scientologist and everybody that come here before you.
Which goes back to a question, I guess, that I have. Why are you here?
Well, probably three reasons. One, I finally became disillusioned with the technology, which is what I was interested in. I knew the crimes and all that, but I thought that it was for good purpose, and that it might be terrible, but is that what you have to do to straighten out society? The technology was not workable. The people higher at the top, who, remember, people at the bottom are paying large amounts of money to become better, more honorable, more ethical, more righteous. At the top, right? But I knew the guys at the top were breaking into the federal buildings. And from knowing them personally and counseling, they were more psychotic than the new people. So obviously the tech did not make you more sane, it made you more of a brainwashed Scientologist and more into the paranoia that Hubbard personally has against officials. Alright, so I left originally for that. The second reason I left is because it was the major turning point in my life. I either had to become a Scientologist, and you could see the Scientology was going to have what they call a war, and the war was either defeat the enemy, which I was not interested in the way the Guardian's office was interested in doing that, and I had to become a citizen. A citizen, meaning I found out that Hubbard was nuts and the tech was nuts and the science fiction of OT3 and space planets and you know, BPs, your body's made up of body thetans and all the science fiction they tell the higher ups. I had a dilemma. I was left with, if I lose Scientology, if I become a citizen, I can't live with you people because you're suppressive and out to hurt people. So the turning point was, I'll become a citizen. I went to the FBI, figuring that they would grab me, and I heard that they were suppressive and they were anti-religious and all these things. It turned out to be decent people. In fact, if anything, very conservative. And after stuff, like I tell you, they took with a grain of salt. But apparently they also knew things about Hubbard and things that I didn't know.